Thank you, Jennifer, for those prayers. In the first service, it was brought up that one good thing that's probably coming out of all that's going on around us in Hong Kong is that we're praying a lot more. And we need to keep praying. We need to keep praying. Keep those prayers going. Over here on this wall, you'll see a little bit of a prayer wall that was used at the re-service this last Wednesday night when people were invited to come and to write their prayers. Last Friday night, in all of the districts, in all 18 districts of Hong Kong, there were prayer gatherings going on in over 70 churches. Some of us were at the Methodist International Church and worshiping there and lifting these prayers up. Keep those prayers going. Keep those prayers going. Pray together and pray individually for our city and for yourselves as we lift up this time and we lift up the church to God. There's a story of a rabbi that I have told a number of different times already here at Community Church, but I feel as I was preparing that this story is one for the situation that we are in here today in Hong Kong. And the story of the rabbi goes like this. So the rabbi was walking, and quite often rabbis would teach by walking around, and the students were following him. And at one point, the rabbi stopped, and he asked the question, how can you tell when the night has gone and the morning has come? How can you tell when the night has gone and the morning has come? And one of his brightest students was quick and raised his hand and says, oh, Rabbi, it's when you can look in the distance and you can tell the difference between a sheep and a goat. And then you know that the night has gone and the morning is rising. And the rabbi said, no. And then another student said, Rabbi, is it when you can look in the distance and tell the difference between a date tree and a fig tree? Then you know the night has gone and the morning has come. And the rabbi said, no. And so the student said, well, tell us, how can we tell? And the rabbi said this. He said, it's when you can look in the face of any man, woman, or child and see the face of your brother or your sister. Because until then, we're all living in the darkness. There's signs of hope in our city, and we need to keep praying for those signs of hope. But that story, I think, has a lot to say for us as we encounter people who are different, and we might have different ways of calling them or referring to them. And let me suggest that brother and sister is a beautiful way to call them. And let me also say that I think another rabbi, the rabbi we worship, Jesus of Nazareth, would love that story. Because he would speak of those that are hard to love as our neighbor. And he would talk about love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. And so that's what we're going to do over the next 5 weeks here at Community Church. We're going to look to go back to the basics and look at this foundational text of our faith, our Christian faith, as we follow the rabbi from Nazareth. One day, Jesus was teaching, and a lawyer came up and was trying to trap him and basically asked the question, what is the greatest commandment? There's all these commandments. There's a lot of conflict at the time there. And which is the greatest? And Jesus said this. He said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then he finishes with these amazing words. He says this, on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Now, when we read Jesus or others talking about the law and the prophets, they're talking about the whole of Scripture. So if you want to take our whole Bible and you want to hang it on something, then we hang it on this. We hang it on love. And again, what I found is that when we're going through times of trouble, it's the time to, again, rely on the basics. So what we're going to do is we're going to use this as a roadmap over the next 5 weeks. This will be our theme verse. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at what does it mean to love our neighbor, even when our neighbor might be someone that is not like us at all, like the Samaritan was not like the Jews who were asking the question in the Good Samaritan story. And we're going to look at it very practically. And so we're going to look at it and say, you know, sometimes to love our neighbor is hard and the relationships go wrong. Sometimes they go wrong in marriages. Sometimes they go wrong in friendships. Sometimes they go wrong in working with colleagues. So we're going to talk about what happens when those go wrong. And we're also going to look at relationships in our family, because the family is the closest neighbor, right? And then we're going to look at friends. Jesus said, I call you friends. And I think we need to upgrade the power of good friendship in our lives. But then we're also going to look at enemies. And we're going to say, okay, what about those who are your enemies? The ones that you have a hard time, I have a hard time calling maybe brother or sister. Now, to do that, we're going to look at those, but to do that, we first have to look at two words here, or two parts here, loving the Lord and loving yourself. Because everything we do with others is based on how we love God and how we are able to love ourselves. So today we're going to talk about loving God. Loving God. And that might seem very conceptual, but what does it really mean to love God? Do you love God? What difference does the love of Jesus make in our lives? I mean, that's what we want to look at, and also to receive his love while we're here together. Then we're going to look at next week, what does it mean to love yourself? Because oftentimes, we can't love others because it's hard for us to love ourselves at that point. So we're going to look at those together. Does that make sense in terms of where we're going the next 5 weeks? Yes? Think it might be helpful? Think it's going to be easy? No, right? It's easy to say. All of you know this. But it's not about knowing it. It's about doing it. And let me say that we don't have the monopoly as Christians on love, right? There are many who exceed in love, maybe past some of what we do. But here's what we have. We have the source of love as our God. We have one who lived fully the life of love. And we have the Holy Spirit to empower us. So we should be leaders in this area. So invite your friends, invite others to come as we learn together. In the Roman Empire, in a time of great oppression, when Jesus lived, right after that, then the church was commented on by a Roman leader, and they said, see how they love each other. In fact, they love our orphans and widows and poor more than we do. May they say that of us during this time. See how they love. So let's learn it together. We're going to need the Holy Spirit's teaching and guidance. So let's go first in prayer and then lift up this time to him. Let me invite you first just to pray for your neighbor. Sometimes your neighbor, you don't may not even know your neighbor, the person sitting next to you, but just pray for them. Pray that God would bless them. Pray that they would be blessed for being here together. Pray that whatever might be an obstacle to them hearing God or feeling his love, that would be removed. And then maybe say a quick prayer for the person next to you on the other side. This is part of loving our neighbors as we pray for them. It's a deep form of love. And then pray for me that I might be faithful in what God has delivered, given to me. And then pray for yourself. You're here. And pray that you might, the psalmist says, open your mouth wide and see if I don't fill it, that you might be filled with the fullness and goodness and love of Jesus. and that the Spirit might teach you a word that would sustain you this week. So God, speak. We're here, and we want to hear from you. We want to draw near to you. We can only do this through your Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, thank you for being here. Woo us, draw us to you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So this is our passage that we're looking at together. This is the passage that Mary Lee read earlier for us and beautifully read. And it's a beautiful passage, right? And so I'm just going to read it for us again. And as I do, I want you to think about words that stand out to you. And I'll underline a few things as we go along. If you have it on your bulletin, you want to be circling things or you want to be highlighting it in your phone, do that. Sometimes it helps just to engage the scripture that way. But hear these words. Beloved, this is John speaking. Beloved, and I want to just kind of mark that word right away. In this beautiful passage, let us love one another, for love is from God. That's a beautiful phrase. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. So again, listen for words and verses or parts that stand out. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And in this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And I'm going to mark that part because that's the gospel. We talked about last week that this is the time of the gospel. This is the time when people need to know of the love of God that was made manifest, that was brought to life on the cross. There is no greater sign of love than the cross. And then John goes on, in this is love, speaking of the cross, not that we have loved God or God, Jesus coming to us, but that he loved us and he sent his Son to be the propitiation. That's a hard word, but that basically just means to satisfy our sins. And then I'm just going to underscore that word sin, because sin, if you're looking for a definition, I think the best one comes from Ghana and Ewe, and it literally means to wreck a family. In other words, to break relationships. There is no sin that doesn't break a relationship. When we look at broken relationships, somewhere in there, there's that going on. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And I want to underscore that too, because so often we try to love on our own, and we have that will to love is good, but we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so that's the passage. Any words kind of stand out to you, or are there words that you saw and you thought, that's interesting, or just words that you heard a lot? What are some of the words we heard a lot about in this passage? Love, yeah. I mean, pretty much every other word was love, 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 like 15 times just in these 4 or 5 verses we have that. What else is in here? A lot. God, right? This is a passage about the love of God. And it's also, it's a wedding passage, right? It's a wedding passage that I've really preached on most in weddings. In fact, when we were talking about it this week, we were talking with the pastors and also Anita, and as we were talking about this passage, what it means, I was saying, actually, I've pretty much preached this passage only at weddings. And looking out here, I can see some of you, I preach this passage or parts of this passage at a wedding, right? Because it speaks of God and love. And if you're coming together in love to receive the blessing of God, this is the passage, right? The first verse in Putonghua that I memorized comes from this passage, right? So, woman, I, yin wei, shen xian, I, woman, right? And there you go. Thank you. And as I said in the first service, don't be impressed. It's the only verse I have memorized, and it's an easy one. But earlier this week, I was sharing that with some people who were here from mainland. and we were sharing about what Christ is doing. And so I said, woman, I. And they just finished it, right? Yin wei, shen qian, I, woman. Because that's why we love. This is a beautiful passage at a wedding. And weddings are great, right? Because weddings, if everyone's kind of giddy with love, right? You come together, there's a choice made to be there, and then you're acting on that choice, and there's a feeling of the heart in love. And don't get me wrong, relationships with God is also about the heart. If it's just a head relationship, we're going to become legalists pretty quick. But when it's the heart, we had one of our leaders come and share with staff this week, and she talked about how she grew up knowing all the tenets. She could say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and body. But then one day she walked into community church, and the Holy Spirit ministered to her, and she felt like, I'm loved. And it became into her heart. It went from the head to the heart. So there is a place for the heart. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body. But love is not just about this giddy feeling, right? And we know that. So we need a definition for love. If we're going to talk about love for 5 weeks, we need to know what we're talking about. Dallas Willard, Athanasius, they both had a similar definition of love, which I love, and it goes like this. It says, love, to love is to will and to act for the good of another. To will and to act for the good of another. So if you're a parent and with your children, you will to love them and you act for the good of them. But maybe that's a little complicated. So let's just say it's a will and an act. In other words, it's a choice and an action. When those two are at a wedding and they're getting married, they have chosen and now they're acting on it. For God so loved the world that he sent his son. He made a choice and he acted on it. Jesus laid down his life for us. He made a choice, and then he acted on it in the cross. And so if we think about love, I want us to think about choices and actions. Are your choices and actions loving? Are they for the good of another or for the good of yourself? So, because weddings are great, but it's not really about the wedding, is it? It's about the marriage. It's about the daily choices and action. So let me ask a question. During this time, these last 3 months in Hong Kong, has it been tough to make good choices and actions of love towards ourselves as we take care of ourselves? Towards our neighbor who we may not agree with? Towards God? Love is a choice and an action. So here's what I want to do. I want to try to make this more practical because, again, love is can be very conceptual. And I want to connect and say that our love for God has a connection with every other relationship that we have. Every other relationship we have. So later in 1 John, John is very direct and he says this, if anyone says, I love God, and then hates his brother, he's a liar. That's pretty straight, right? For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Now we need to take this for what it is a word of truth and a word of caution for all of us, right? Because we can come in here on a Sunday morning and the band can be playing and it's beautiful and we're, God, I love you, right? And we worship and that is good and we need that and that replenishes and fills us. But then we can't go right outside on the streets, find someone who we see and not love them. And so what John is saying very directly is there's a connection. And I get this connection, right? Because in my life, as I've experienced my relationship with God, I found often that when my relationship with God is at its healthiest, my relationships with others are better. When I'm out of sorts for whatever reason with God, some of the other relationships begin to suffer. I notice that with our kids. I become far more impatient if my relationship is not good with God. And so that spills out on my family. Same with colleagues, same with clients. Marion and I, at different times when we have gone through conflicts or working through situations in our lives, oftentimes, in fact, every time at some level, part of the action we take away from that is, I need to get a little closer to God. Because we know as we draw on this source of love, then our relationship with each other will be stronger. And that's true with all of us. So if you're in a situation right now where there's a broken relationship, something going on, let me encourage you, go to God. Check out that relationship. Do what you can to make sure that relationship is strong and healthy. And don't get me wrong here. It's not like if you have a great relationship with God, all your other relationships are going to be great. No, they may require a lot of work anyway, but you'll know better how to do that, and you'll be better equipped. So I want to give us two ways that we can actively, practically love God. There's hundreds of ways, and each one of our ways is going to be different. But when I was praying about this, I was saying, God, what would it be? What's a way that I can share with the church that we can love God? And then what's a way we can know your love for us? So there's two words that I want to lift for you. The first word is maybe a surprising one, but it's the word repent. Repent. And then the second word is the word receive. So here at Community Church, we like words that begin with re. So we have reservice, we have refresh, we have renew. Today we have repent and receive. Let's look at repent first of all. Because when we look at repent, it's a way of drawing close to God that we might not think of. James 4:8, we know this, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. But then the rest of the verse is, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. When we were at Methodist International on Friday night, one of the people prayed for repentance, and she prayed for the fruit of repentance. And I love that phrase, the fruit of repentance. When we pray and repent, it just removes obstacles. Now, I have some things to repent of over the last 3 months in terms of how I've thought about Hong Kong and what's going on and about individual situations, and probably at some level we all have. I have something to repent in the way that I have not responded in love. And this is the first way, is we come to God. And something beautiful happens when we repent to God, because it puts us in a perspective of God where we're removing these obstacles. We're basically saying, if there's anything that comes between you and me, we want to remove that. That's drawing near. God is already near to you. He's nearer to you than you can imagine. But we may not feel that. And when we are in a particular sin which wrecks relationship, it might be the sin of pride, it might be the sin of always having to be right, it might be the sin of knowing we know the way, whatever that is, then that can stop us from feeling that love. And so I want to encourage us in our relationship with God to just have it a daily experience. Don't wait till we come to communion and then we have a confession once a week, right? Daily. Jesus said in our daily prayer, Lord, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. It's a daily thing, right? Let me say something in relationships. If there's a broken relationship right now, we have some part in it. What part may we need to confess? And I found it easier before I do it horizontally to do it vertically. That gives me much greater love and power when I need to do it horizontally. So the first thing is repent. We're going to take a few minutes to do that. Second thing is receive. Because see, that something happens when we repent. One of the surprising fruit is joy and peace, because we've got it off our shoulders to God. And then we're open. And then we receive God's love. There's a beautiful prayer in Ephesians 3:14-21, and I recommend it to you. But this is just a portion of it. Paul's praying for his people, and I pray this for many people. I pray this with our kids. I pray it over them. Pray that you may have the power, that you may be established in love. That's your foundation. You're rooted in love. Love God, love self, love others. And then you may have the power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ for you. For you. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of God. You know, most of us in Hong Kong, we're kind of activists, right? We like to do things. So we love God by showing great acts of mercy and justice and serving and doing things. But we also, as we talked about in July, just need to be still and to receive God's love daily. May you have a daily time of just receiving God's love. That's a choice and an action. You know, all of our other relationships, they become urgent. We have a problem at work. We have a problem with our kids. We have a problem with a friend. And so that occupies our mind. Our mind begins to spin how to solve that. And somehow a relationship with God can be put aside, right? It's not urgent. But that needs to be our daily bread, that we come and feed on Him. So we're going to do that now. Rather than just talk about it, let's do it. So I'd like to invite us into a prayer time of repenting and receiving. This is a very individual time. We're not going to ask you to call out or anything like that. Just where you are, we're going to go into this time of repenting and receiving. I'm going to invite the band to come back up, and they're going to minister to us as we go through some music. After a little bit of while, they'll finish with a song. If you want to join in that song, you can. If you want to let that song just minister to you, do that. Two words, repent and receive. So is it clear what we're going to do a little bit? Maybe it's not clear until I start telling more, but what we're going to do is this. We're just going to take a few moments, and we're going to first of all repent. Your heart to God's heart, that's all. And then what we're going to do is we're going to take some time to receive. Now, what I find helpful sometimes is just to be aware of your body. So you may want to close your eyes. You may want to sit in such a way that the chair can fully support you. You may want to have your hands open. Open hands is just a gesture of both release and receiving. So it's a visual prayer. It's a body prayer. But you may also want to get on your knees where you are, or just slip out as we go into this time of repentance. Where the Spirit is, there is freedom. So we give you that freedom. But first of all, let's just come in a spirit of repentance. Spirit of, God, I'm sorry. And let the Holy Spirit lead this time. The psalmist says, examine me. Find if there's any way that's not of life, on the path of life. So I ask the Holy Spirit, just examine. Lord, examine me. And let this Holy Spirit beautifully show you what to confess. And then just pour out your heart. Pour out your heart to God. Silently, your heart to His heart. Don't hold anything back. You got things that need to be forgiven. Pour those out to God. Holy Spirit, just move among us. When the Holy Spirit convicts us, He first says that He loves you. He loves all of you. And that there's something maybe here or there which He wants to remove so that you can fully know how deeply He loves you. And confession is the way we do that. So we confess and we create space to be received, space for God's love. So now move into a time of receiving. And just again, if you feel comfortable and you want to kneel or want to do whatever, please do. But receiving of God's love. You have a name, and your name is the Beloved. You are the Beloved. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Do you feel like the Beloved? So maybe just ask for the Holy Spirit's power to experience how deep the Father's love is for you, all of you, all parts of you. Hear the words of the Father spoken to his Son, that you are my son, you are my daughter, in you I am well pleased. And so just rest for a moment in God's love. Let God's love wash over you. You are loved. So choose to receive it as best you can. And ask for the Holy Spirit's help. Because when we know we're the Beloved, it is so much easier to love ourselves and to love others. So it starts with God. You are the Beloved of God. And when we know God's love, we know his presence. We know he's with us all through the day. You can talk to him, whatever you're doing, middle of a client deal, middle of a contract, middle of whatever you're doing, you can talk to him and feel his presence. For thousands of years, the church has taught breath prayers for over 1,000 years. And the breath prayers work by just allowing you to breathe in as you receive God's love. And you may just want to try that or do that. Just take a deep breath and breathe in the love of God, the Spirit of God. And then as you exhale, just anything that's not of God is removed. And you receive and you release. And you receive and you release. Jesus, may we know your presence. Deepen our love for you and our ability to receive your love for us.